Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
All right, Patrick. The Minnesota Twins have done what Judd has been begging and pleading with them to do for years, which is add a competent defensive fourth outfielder for when Byron Buxton is injured. Michael A. Taylor, longtime veteran pasture coverer. Washington for a while, Kansas City. Twins trade a couple pitching prospects. Your thoughts?
Yes, I'm all for it. We put Kepler over there, and Kepler, a very good right fielder, very mediocre center fielder. I think this might close, Judd, this might close the door on Jake Cabe. What do you think?
We were talking about that yesterday.
We were talking a little Jake Cabe yesterday that if Philly cut him, he'd certainly be back here, but it might be over for Jake now that they have a backup center fielder. The other guy it might be over for is Gilberto Celestino, since they have to cut somebody. Something he did. There's something about him they didn't like, makeup-wise, as they say, makeup-wise. I don't know what it was. A concentration? I don't know what it was. But at the end of the year, they were down on him something fierce. So he could and they could also take one of their – they got 23 pitchers on the roster, so they could take one of those guys off, too, that's not going to make the team but and keep Celestino around. But, yeah, what's there to complain about on this one? It's a center fielder, some guy who can play center field when – in 100 games that Buxton's not going to play center field, right?
So. Yes, he is. And people are pointing out, too, correctly, that Joey Gallo, when put in the corner outfield spots, can still cover some ground. So the Twins are clearly stockpiling. Whether they put these guys on the field at the same time or Buxton DHs, they're clearly trying to help their pitching staff by just making sure that fly balls
are caught. I didn't look up. Does Michael A. strike out quite a bit?
Yes, he does.
Okay, well, that's
he gets
good.
Right
that's,
in.
That's, we like that. We, that's an asset.
It's a good trade.
Low batting average, low on base, high strikeout. Yeah.
We're always worried about getting people off their feet. That's a good way to get them off their feet. You know, they strike out and then they go sit down over there for 5 minutes while the inning progresses. That's a good way to get them off their feet. So that's a good idea. But so, Joey, I still think Joey's going to end up at first. I think Joey's going to
See, I think you're right. I think that's the thing is, I think we're assuming Kirilov's going to come back and be absolutely fine as well.
Well, if he is.
We don't know that. That'd be great, but we don't know that.
No, they don't. Guess who else doesn't know it? Them. They will.
Does the new trainer, though, Pat. The new trainer needs to know everything. Everyone needs to be healthy.
Yes. Well, I don't know if, sawing off part of his arm made me less than optimistic. You know, it's we haven't had a one-armed ball player in major league since the guy in World War II. What was his name? Pete somebody. He played like this. He batted like this. So
we've had one hand. Jim Abbott had one hand.
Yes, Jim Abbott had one hand. Yes, he did. And pitched a – was it a perfect game or a no-hitter? I can't remember.
It was a no-hitter. Yeah, he walked. Well, he walked a couple guys. He was a little off his control.
Yes, yeah. He was a good guy. I talked to him a couple of times. You know that we are so unaware sometimes about the what's taking place in the minor Gopher sports and stuff. He pitched against the Gophers for like three different times for Michigan, and none of us ever went over and wrote about him. You know, he was pitching against the Gophers in Siebert Field, in April, who cares? So anyway.
So what do you think? What's their next move here? So they've traded Arise for pitching. They've landed a good fourth outfielder here. Kepler, are they going to trade Sonny Gray?
I don't think so. It depends on the market, but they'll have to get something for him. And wouldn't they have to get another pitcher they traded for him? I mean, wouldn't they? I don't know. Why would they want to trade him?
They're trying to play the you know, one foot in the present, one foot in the future. He's going to be a free agent. I would not trade him. I think you have a window to try and win here.
You think you have too many pitching riches all of a sudden because you got Pablo Lopez?
Where do you put Bailey Ober? Is he?
Here's the other thing. You trade him. All those pitchers are always more valuable in July than they are now. So, let him go out, pitch good. I think they're really, we do have the 13 pitcher limit. So it's hard to go to a 6-man rotation when you use the bullpen like they do. But I think you're going to see that at least early in the season, don't you guys? It was 6 days anyway, the off days. But I think they're going to. Which one of these guys goes to the pen? It has to be the kids, right? Ober and Winder and, both those guys might not even make the team. I mean, Ober will, but I'm not sure about Winder. But, I guess they'll go to. I think Ober would be great out of the pen myself, but I'd like him as a starter too. But bringing this monster in with five right-handed hitters over the next six batters and letting him pitch the sixth and seventh innings, that'd be pretty damn good, I think. I don't think they like him because he's not way down here, but he's down here enough that he can make you flinch a little bit. He's a big, big man. Throws hard. I think he's really competitive. It's too bad that he's broken down a couple of times. But
I like the bullpen idea. Yeah,
I think he'd be. I think he'd be good out there. But yeah,
if they keep going with their current philosophy, they have to cover more bullpen innings than almost any team in baseball. Yes. So if you can put guys that can give you two on a more regular basis, maybe Ober is one of those guys.
Well, I mean, okay, Pablo allegedly. Maybe not right off the bat, but he's going to give you six instead of 3 2/3 that you got from Chris Archer, right?
Yes.
Right. I mean, sudden you're gaining 60 innings there, right? Right off the bat. I mean, they're not going to have Chris Archer bogging down the whole thing by not pitching. And then you're not going to have Dylan Bundy, who you had no faith in, even when he pitched good. So I don't think it's automatic that they're going to have this quick a hook this year with this collection. Do you?
Shouldn't. I mean, Pablo had, I think, like half of his starts, he went six innings pitched.
He pitched 180 innings in 29 starts, 29, yeah. 28, 29.
That's
starts.
A horse in 2022.
Oh, God, yes. Yeah, it is. I keep going back to Bill Campbell, who just died, the relief pitcher. Who pitched 410 innings in 3 years as your closer, and now you can get 410 out of a starter in 3 years. You're fairly happy, right? You're not pouting too much. It's okay. So, but I think the next big push is going to be you got to let us have one more position, one more roster spot, because they're going to all want they're heading towards 6-man rotations, don't you think? I think. All around baseball.
Do we really need that though?
No.
Couldn't we cut that off before they win? I don't think we need 6-man rotation. No, I don't need more starters.
Well, Manfred is trying to, with all these, modernize with the strike zone and everything, but he's also trying to bring back some of the old game here with, the getting rid of the shifts and stuff like that. Yeah. So by putting a limit on the pitchers, 13, that was an effort to, cut down on the number of pitchers being used. So I think they'd really have a hard time convincing the commissioner's office to go to 14 pitchers. But damn well they're going to.
Oh, they'll try.
This is all part of the, in terms of like baseball's popularity, and there's a million reasons why baseball has probably faded. But I think pitchers being a lot less recognizable.
Oh, yes.
Is a huge reason, right? I mean, 15, 20 years ago, maybe even 10 years ago, you could name the top pitchers on each team or the top two or three starters. Or, think about, I'm going way back now to the 90s, but the Braves rotation recognizable for like 8 years with Smoltz and Maddox. And I don't know if you just asked a casual fan, can you name 25 starting pitchers in baseball? I don't know how many people could do that.
I'd have to think. But here's the deal is, I mean,
can you name 25 study centers?
My buddies, you know, not my civilian friends, not the writer's friend. You know, you go to the game tonight, who's pitching? You know, for years, for decades, you know.
Who's the opener?
Yeah.
Yeah, for decades it was, who's pitching? Johan pitching? Oh, Johan's pitching. Yeah, maybe I'll go to the game. You know, that was, you know, you kind of set your schedule as to, you know, what pitcher was pitching. And when they first came here way back when, Camilo's pitching. Let's go see Camilo. Yeah. You know, see that curveball. You never see anything like it. And those days are long over.
There were only eight pitchers last season who threw 200 innings. Eight. Mm-hmm. In 2010, there was 45. 45 wow. guys. I mean, look at the drop off from that.
That's in 12 years too. Wow. You know, it is amazing to say the least. And I don't think it's made pitchers. Here's the thing. I don't think it's made pitchers healthier. Has it?
Has it made pitchers more, has it made staffs more effective in that? Okay. We're going to cut X percentage off of the third time through the order. And we're going to put a flame throwing guy in the game.
It's one big reason that the hitting numbers are so terrible. I mean, the batting averages is a guy like Miguel Sano, who's now, you know, can't get a job. I might end up in Korea or someplace. But I think as much as anything, it was not seeing the same guy a third time that screwed him up. And especially when that guy he faced the third time was throwing 97, you know, it was, he needed to look at a pitcher to see, to get some kind of an idea of what was going on. I think those kind of hitters, the strikeout, I think it's really been hard on the strikeout artists, the Chris Davises of the world who never got to see a third pitcher. You know, how many times do you think once he became terrible, but as he was declining, how many times do you think he got to see the same right-handed pitcher three times? Not very often.
No.
If it's an RBI situation, not.
Maybe
not
twice. Yeah, not three times.
Yeah.
For sure. You know what's incredible, you guys? For all the Sano discussion and gnashing of teeth and fighting on Twitter, as Patrick said, he's going to end up with the Mexico City Reds.
Yeah.
No, the Pittsburgh Pirates, who would sign me if they could right now, won't take him. But think
he's
about
that. He's got to have some agent guaranteeing him that he's going to get him a roster, you know, that he's going to not be an invite to spring training, right? He's not, you know, because that now you're at that territory, right? You're the invite to spring training. That's the he's trying to defeat that. But there are rumors he's going to go to Asia too, but he'd have to go pretty soon, right? They start training camp in about 2 weeks over there.
Well, and they train hard, don't they?
They do. That'd be, I'm sure that he doesn't want that. Cheap. But it is. Here, I want to know where all the Sano files, you know, the Sano fanatics, where are they? They were still defending them early last year. What happened to them?
They're over at twinsdaily.com. That's
HTTP.
You'll see them Saturday night.
See
them
on Thursday at the Diamond Awards.
Pat will see him when he speaks to him on Saturday.
I think I said that Miguel sends his best regards, you frauds. You know?
I feel like, aren't you doing an event with the people that you're ripping?
I am there for, they have several, they only watch, you know, I think the thing goes on for hours. And they only want you there for a half hour or something like that.
So. It might be cut down to 15 minutes after this here.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Well, that's okay. I mean, I don't have any problem with those guys, except they're so defiant when a big oaf who hits a home run once a week. And when you get him on the bases, you're mad because it's going to take two doubles to score him is not an asset. Sorry, you know, but you could. You could keep being a fan.
This should be your speech on Saturday. You should get up and explain baseball to him. You got to be with the sorry, with the very condescending Judd-like tone. I love that.
So now that they got another outfielder, they're going to end up just trading Kepler for a couple of youth.
See, that's the thing. He's not like a bench player, but I don't know what he is on a good team. On a good team, is he just a rotational, like a kind of a fourth outfielder?
Well, I guess
he can play some defense, but
I guess he's a platoon player, but they're I think because there were rumors early that the Dodgers were looking for an outfielder, the Yankees were looking for an outfielder, and that they thought maybe they could trade him for some kind of a semi-prospect, but there's no market for him.
The Twins tried to generate a market right when the winter meetings were going on. The Twins clearly floated to a couple like local, I think to the Athletic that, hey, getting some, hey, Max Kepler, are calling on
that. Spielman said, we're always getting, a lot of people, a lot of people called. We get a lot of calls. That doesn't work.
Phone's ringing, Pat. Huh? Phone is always ringing. the landline is just lighting up.
If I was looking for an outfielder and I had to give up a double-A pitcher of modest, I'd give him a shot. I'd give him one more shot that if he can get in a new environment and, you know, be around a team where he actually takes an interest in baseball, that might be, I don't think he cares. I think he's, doesn't really care.
His career is just kind of a, I'm not going to say a lost cause because he could still play for a few more years, but whatever he was going to do in his career is kaput.
And it's not as explainable as Sano and Chris Davis and these guys that all of a sudden they just couldn't hit velocity. I don't think that's his problem. One thing is he can't change his swing. He can't adjust. He got those. Right after the All-Star break, he got those two hits to left field. And I think I tweeted out great discoveries by Europeans Magellan finding the way around the South America and the other guy finding Cook finding the South Pole and Max Kepler finding left field were the great discoveries. And then he never got another hit to left field the rest of the year, right?
Yeah. Well, he's got a chance now. Some of these left-handed hitters, Gallo being one of them.
Yes.
I'm curious now that you can't shift as aggressively. Is there more value for a Max Kepler to raise his batting average?
Aren't they the one and two guys for hitting into a shift? Gallo and percentage wise, Gallo and Kepler.
I don't know, but my eye test would say that sounds right.
Yeah. And I don't know. I'd rather have Kepler coming up to the plate than Joey Gallo, but that's just me.
It's kind of, we talk about like Sano, and you brought up the Bundy Archer combination from last year. I do think this front office, getting Correa back, getting Michael Taylor's a good move. Mm-hmm. I'm even okay with the Arise trade. I could pick nits about why they had to make it. But if you go back and look at some of the moves that they made in the two or three years prior. So going into last year, 40% of their slotted rotation going into last year without a job 1 year later going into spring training. Their cleanup hitter that they signed to a 4-year contract extension might have to go play in an international league somewhere. Tyler Duffy was their setup guy, jobless. Right? All these guys that were like key pieces going into the season are jobless.
Duffy hasn't got invited to camp yet, has he? I don't think he got an invite, right? I think that Falvey called everybody in at the end of last season, Baldelli and Levine and all the scouts, and said, let's stop being stupid. Let's stop being idiots. We can't run out a rotation with a guy who's going to average 3 1/3 innings for us. Let's.
I hope he addressed himself too.
Yeah. Well, yes, he did.
Looked in the mirror.
Let's us stop being idiots. You have to go for somebody who's got a chance, for goodness sake.
You can't save everyone with your cleverness. We see something. Sometimes when a guy gives up 45 home runs over 2 years as a reliever, Emilio Pagan, sometimes not even the most clever, Kulk, the guy behind the scenes that they stole from the Rays. Like sometimes Dylan Bundy, and I was more of a Dylan Bundy guy than Judd was, but I'll concede to Judd that maybe at the end of the season, Dylan Bundy was not an effective starting pitcher.
I think Kulk is a, controversial figure over there with some of the people. I think one of the main reasons Wes Johnson is in LSU is Culk trying to involve himself way too much, including walking through the clubhouse and talking to Wes's pitchers and stuff like that. I think Culk's had a lot to do with Wes thinking he had to leave in the middle of the season instead of at the end of the season, which would have made sense.
Who trusts him, Pat?
Oh, they love him.
Falvey or Rocco? Who likes him?
Well, he's got the big right head. That was a big deal when they took him away to Tampa Bay. He was the pitching genius of the analytics down in Tampa Bay. So he's a different kind of cat, man. I guess he'll shoot the breeze. If you get to know him, he'll shoot the breeze. But if you're an outsider, he's one of the guys that won't say hello in the elevator, So, because you might try to start a conversation with him. So,
well, anyway. Is their coaching staff coming back intact? They have not announced their major league coaching staff yet.
Yeah, they
announced their minor league assignments, but I don't think they've made their major league.
They did at the end of last season, no? October or something like that?
Yeah, it sounded like the only change is the training staff and they added another hitting coach, right?
So usually we get the Twins finalized coaching staff release, and I have not. I'm going to Google it, but
because they definitely announced that Watkins was coming back at third base.
Yeah, I think and Pete Mackey is and Colby's Suggs or whatever the name are the hitting coaches or the pitching coaches. So
yeah, they haven't announced officially, but they haven't made any changes either. So I don't know if they're still.
I think Pete being back as the pitching coach is one of the biggest upsets in Twins history. I don't think he's a commanding presence, but
it's pretty amazing hubris to disappoint like they did the last 2 years, especially last year. And I know they had some injuries, but the failure of the season went way beyond just firing a trainer. To just run everything back with the same leadership from front office all the way down to your pitching coach and everything is.
Well, it is, give up what they gave up seven prospects and four or five of them fairly good ones to load the pitching staff up in early August and end up falling on their faces. So that's one reason they're trying to get a couple of prospects thrown in the Pablo Lopez deal because they got to replenish because they gave up quite a bit and some of them aren't progressing as they hoped. Although, once again, if you read the minor league guys, they are just stacked, man. The local minor league guys, they got so much.
You're taking shots again.
I don't know where to put guys, Pat. In my personal top 50, I'm just so confused about where to put guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's true. So I don't know. You can't have any complaints about Michael A. Taylor. They got a guy to catch the ball in center field.
I agree with that. Yes.
Buxton doesn't play, which is he won't start half the games in center field. He might start 110 games, but more of them will be as a DH than as a, and by the way, he's got to stop striking out. He's got to realize there's more to hitting than going up and trying to hit home runs. But did we look it up? Did he hit 218 last year? Am I wrong? What did he hit last
224,
year?
I think.
224.
224, yes.
He is not a 224 hitter. I don't want a 224 hitter who strikes out 30% of the time like he did last year. That's not supposed to be him. He's supposed to he's supposed to hit a double and make it turn it into a triple and do stuff like that. So
he did have 44 extra base hits in 380 plate appearances, which is pretty
crazy. How many strikeouts?
116 in 92 games in 382 plate appearances.
So he's close to 30%. I don't like 30%. I like 18% striking out. So anyway. That's how about our Wolfies? We got Rudy back. We can't overcome having Rudy in the lineup, man. As try as they might, they can't overcome having Rudy in the lineup. Isn't that
amazing? It's amazing how – so I think I saw that they're 4-6 against the worst teams in the NBA.
Yeah.
If they were just, just three games better than that. They'd be like the four seed in the Western Conference right now.
Well, they finished the season 0-2 against the Pistons, who every night you look are getting beat by 30. They gave up. Wasn't it the Pistons last night that played the Bucks and gave up 150? I think the Bucks scored 150 on them last night. And, you know, it's you're right. They can, as you said, they can beat almost everybody, and they can lose to everybody. Houston, yeah, that was, you know, Houston, it does bother you when they lose to the teams that don't want to win. You know, the teams dedicated, all they're worried about is getting the big Frenchman, and they're still beating him.
So it's insane. And there's about 16 people in that arena last night, too. There was no atmosphere, and just couldn't get it done. All right, I think we're saying bye to Pat.
Yeah,
I think the Golden Valley Internet has decided that we'll talk to Pat later on this week. See you, Pat.
All hooked up.
Yep. I don't know what happened there. I got to go back, huh? The tech has to go back. The Western
That's
Suburban
right. Our
tech
head of our head of Mackie and Judd IT is now here. Judd's
all
yep. Yep. Have you turned your computer off and on? That's how we fix
Is it
things.
Plugged in?
Is
okay,
plugged
let's
in?
Try that. Okay, all right.
Buck said 150 last night. That's awesome.